So today is in the lectionary, the church calendar, called Christ the King Sunday, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. It's the Sunday before we head into the Advent and Christmas season. So it's important for us to think about, what does it mean to have Christ the King, or have be part of the kingdom of God? In the Gospel of Matthew, we hear this a lot, what the kingdom of God is like. We are heard say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Or truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. And we've heard what the kingdom of heaven is like. It is like someone who plants any seed. It's like someone planting a mustard seed that becomes an enormous tree. Well, not too enormous, but at least a tree where the birds can find shelter. It is like yeast that helps the bread rise. It is like a buried treasure that is discovered in a field, or pearls that are found. We hear that those like children will enter the kingdom first. That humility rather than greatness is what God is looking for. It's a lot of images for us to get our heads around. What we know is that the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. There is and there will be a king, a ruler who will come and judge us, a ruler who will come and say, you are mine, you are who I want in this kingdom. This passage from Matthew says something interesting. It talks to us about the criteria, the standards for being welcomed into the kingdom of God. It harks back to the prophets of the Old Testament about what is important. And it is a continuing theme in Matthew. The interesting bit is that the person on the throne, the king that is to judge, does not say, do you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour, and therefore you are welcome? Although we do know from the letters of Paul in the Bible that this confession of faith is important. As well, the person on the throne does not say, have you grown in your walk with God by praying and reading your Bible? Although we know that this is important. The person on the throne says to those on his right hand, come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Why is this important? Because those confessions of faith, that praying and Bible reading, means nothing if you cannot see it in people's lives. It's fascinating because it doesn't emphasize those traditional spiritual accomplishments of prayer or study or fasting or worship and praise. No, Matthew says to us, the most important commandments are love God with your heart, your soul, your mind, and love your neighbour as yourself. All the rest of the prophets and the law is fulfilled in these two statements. And then in this passage, Matthew tells us what loving your neighbour means. Feeding the hungry, satisfying the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, visiting those who are captive. Is this something that we could go in front of Christ and say, but when did I do those things? And get the answer in return, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Or are we struggling with this whole concept that our faith requires our actions, our whole lives? Are we saying to ourselves, oh, really, it's talking about the spiritually hungry. I don't have to worry about those who are physically hungry. Thirsty means those who thirst after righteousness, as it says in the Beatitudes in Matthew, not for those who have no clean water to drink. Sometimes it's very easy for us to think of those who are hungry and thirsty and naked and strangers and prisoners as being people who are a long way away from us, a long way away from here. We can think of the hungry in Africa, the thirsty in India, the naked in war-torn places, the stranger, anyone but in our shopping centres or next door. But you know what God wasn't and isn't saying to us? God wasn't saying to us, only look after those people who are a long way away from where you live. And also, God wasn't saying to us, look after those people who are right next door. God was saying, look after everyone. Love everyone. Sometimes that means giving people food parcels at Christmas. Sometimes it means working for justice so that people do not need to get food parcels at Christmas, that they will have food because they have been given the opportunities to get it. Hallelujah. Sometimes it means visiting people in prison. And at Noongalinya College, where I work, we often organise for the students who come in to go and visit family members in prison. Is also working so that people do not need to commit offences, that they do not go to prison. Not because they haven't done something wrong, but because there are opportunities for them to do the right thing. How do we love our neighbour? Neighbours who are nearby as well as far away, as it says in that song, Yesu, Yesu, show us how to serve. How do we love the people in this town and in this place? How do we welcome the stranger? We have to work out what welcome means. And I looked this up on the internet because we tend to just go, I'm welcoming, we're welcoming, you know, and not think about what it means. It means to greet, receive, or entertain cordially or hospitably. That doesn't mean you give people cordial. Cordial means to be warm and sincere. It means that the welcome you give the first time is the welcome you give every time. And by that I mean the warm welcome, not the, oh yeah, hi, great to see you, and go turn away and talk to someone else. For those that follow Christ, this warmth of welcome makes sense because that is what Jesus did. He welcomed and greeted people warmly, those who were outcasts as well as those who were rich. He meant that warmth. He actually liked people. He didn't pretend that he did. He actually wanted to know them. He didn't watch for how people might use him for their own advantage. He welcomed them in the name of God, and he welcomed them with true love. We know in the world there are a lot of strange people around. People who frighten us, people who make us feel uncomfortable, people who challenge us. And there are even more strangers. How do we welcome them? When new people come to Darwin, to Humpty Doo, to the Territory, because I know the Territory has quite a big transitional population of people who are maybe here for 2 years and then they move on. Are we sincere and loving, or are we looking out for how they might hurt us or how they might leave us? Or whether they are interesting enough to invest time in? When new people come to this worship space, do we welcome them? Are we sincere and loving, or do we try to protect what we already have? And I know from my experience here that I have received a warm welcome, but you already know who I am. Yeah, you know who I am. I want you to think now about how you personally welcome people to new places. And I'm not talking about, I'm loving to them. I'm talking about actually things you do, concrete things, like ringing someone and seeing how they are, having them over for dinner, making time to talk to them in the supermarket. Practical things that make people know that your words are matched by your actions. When we decide to follow Christ and confess that He is our Lord, He is our King, it is a commitment to be faithful to Jesus in all parts of our life. All parts of our life, with our hearts, our souls, and minds. We cannot love God unless we love our neighbour. When we commit to follow Christ, that means doing the things that Jesus did. Being part of a community of believers to talk to and work with, like Jesus had with his disciples, even though we can really stuff up at times. It means allowing God to transform us into loving and giving creatures, like Jesus taught to his disciples. And it means feeding the hungry, satisfying the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, caring for the sick, and visiting those who are locked up, hallelujah, like Jesus did with the people he met. To be part of these things is to be part of the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom where love, true love, is real, a love that is warm, a love that is sincere, a love that shows itself in words as well as actions. Hallelujah. So what are you going to do this week about welcoming people? Welcoming people so that they know the kingdom of God. How is your faith going to be shown in your actions? Let us pray. God, you call us to be a welcoming people, people who want to welcome others with your warmth and your love. But so often we fall short of this welcome. We protect our hearts. We protect our friends and the way things have always been. Forgive us for not trusting you enough to truly love our neighbours. Help us to commit to new ways of welcoming so that we may show your warmth and love with sincerity, that we truly may be worthy of being in your kingdom. Amen. We're going to have a reflection song play now. Come, thou font of every blessing, while I prepare for communion. And if any of the children would like to help with communion, come up and help me now.